Many years ago, the Lord allowed us to conduct some conferences in Asia, and God moved and worked, and we were grateful in Seoul and Manila. And then as God brought Brother Naranjan into our life in Singapore for the first conference there, and to try to describe really what happened 18 months ago in Manila is very difficult because it was truly a touch of revival that we experienced. And it was something that in the midst of that revival, God began to speak to hearts, calling young men to many different countries in the 1040 window that have, many of them now already gone. We're getting reports of churches being established in places like Vietnam and Cambodia, and to stand and sing with thousands of people and to look to your left and see a group of men weeping while they were singing and to ask them, "Why are you crying?" And to have them say, "Well, we've never sung to Jesus with more than 20 people before. And we're from Sri Lanka, and it's not like this there." And just experiences like that that you just can't quite describe. And so we knew immediately that we would come back and partner with just the most gracious host you could ever expect, the Filipino pastors. And I would tell you that we're really entering into the labors of our independent Baptist missionaries from the 1950s, the Lyons and the Woosleys and so many others that I could think of, Dr. Hughes, and now the pastors that they trained and so forth are just standing in the gap. And we're honored really to co-labor with them. And all we're trying to do is to recognize the moving of God and be there. We're not trying to create something. We're just seeing what God is doing and wanting to be there. And I believe in it so greatly that you saw the change that we're adjusting our schedule to for next year. And that's because we're planning to take our media team, our sound team, our pastoral staff, and hundreds of members and lots of money into this Asia emphasis. And we felt that we would come back for this next year's Spiritual Leadership Conference, and we're going to have that down at Palm Desert, where we have some professional help with the hosting of it, and we'll still have the preaching and the great sessions. But we're putting a lot of emphasis, and we're inviting you that are pastors today to join in the effort. And we've already been making a lot of contacts with literally hundreds of pastors who've said, "I'd like a pastor from the States to preach for us and then join with us on Monday at a hotel in Manila that's connected to the convention center," and so forth. And in the midst of this moving of the Lord at the last meeting, God really broke Brother Folger's heart. And I'm going to ask him to come and take a moment. He knew that he would be resigning his pastorate after 40 plus years in Cleveland, Ohio. Brother Folger has been a dear friend, a man of integrity. We've sat on the board together for groups like Baptist International Missions and so forth. And he called me and he said, "Brother Chappell, I don't know what all God is going to do with Spiritual Leadership Asia, but I want to be a part of it." And after a lot of time in prayer, the Lord has led him to be the North America director and representative, and going out into churches, showing videos like you just saw, distributing these materials, and helping to represent. And what we want to do, and we'll talk more about this in a few moments, is we want to help pastors who could never afford to come to Manila get there. And we want to help them with their lodging and their food, and we want to then support them in the works that they have. And that's really our heart in this, as well as funding the meeting. Our church has been doing the lion's share of that, and we're just now expanding so that we can continue to reach out. Next year, we've rented a 10,000-seat auditorium, and there's a lot going on with that. And so Brother Folger is going to be sharing that vision. He's already booked dozens of meetings. I hope that many of you will have him as well along the way. But Dr. Folger, come and share your thoughts and heart and introduce what God's doing in your life.
Thank you very much. Well, it is a joy to be here this afternoon and to spend a few moments with you. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to the Gospel of Matthew, please, in Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to take a few moments, run through a few thoughts that God has used in my own heart, my own life, in bringing me on this journey. 41 years in one place, and I just knew a couple of years ago God was saying my time was finished there, and I didn't know exactly why and what was on the next page of that journey, but God has brought this all together in my life. But Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35 to verse number 38, these are familiar verses to many of us. Let me just read them for you. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Here's it in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, as we go through the New Testament, of course, we see there's a lot of teaching on this idea of prayer, that prayer is a vital part of our life. I may be wrong when I say this, but I don't think that I'm wrong. There are only two places where Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him specifically about something. One was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was facing his greatest moment. He said, would you watch with me and pray with me for 1 hour? And here's the other place. We find it here in the book of Matthew when we see that Jesus talks about labors. And so just let me just touch on a couple of things. I see in verse 35 the timing of the request. As I look at this this particular portion of Scripture, we understand it was a busy season of travel. We understand that when Jesus showed up on the scene, people were immediately attracted to him. There were things that he did to attract a crowd, but the Bible is clear here that he didn't just wait for them to come to him. He went to where they were. He went to the cities and the villages, and it wasn't just these great pockets of population, but he went to the out-of-the-way places, the villages. And so we find that it was a busy season. He's moving from place to place. And then not only is it a busy season of travel, but it's a busy season of ministry. The Bible says here that he healed the people and he preached the gospel to them. So it wasn't that he just went there to see, well, what's going on in this community? No, there was a ministry aspect to what the Lord was doing here. And so it's very clear that he was dealing with these people. Then not only do I see this idea of this timing, but I see the motivation of the prayer request in verse 36. Would you notice what the Bible says there? Here's the motivation. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So he saw the people and it moved him to compassion. When the Bible says he saw them, what he saw moved him, this was not just some superficial, I'm seeing something. No, the Bible is clear here that it moved him. And as the Lord God, of course, he saw beyond the superficial. He saw to the greatest needs of these people, to their deepest needs. And so in Lamentations chapter 3, we understand where the Bible says, what I saw. The Bible says, my eye hath affected my heart. Amen. And when we see things, when we see things that are happening in our world, it affects us. And certainly what the Lord saw affected him. And he saw their deepest needs. It says that he saw them as they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Saying that Jesus saw those who were facing the ravages of their sin. We think about what man's needs are today. And of course, if you went out in the world and asked the average person, well, what's the greatest need that our world has? And some would say, well, it needs more education or perhaps philosophy, or we need social justice, or we need reparations for past wrongs. That's what the world would say. But what we know that the world needs and the greatest need is what Jesus said here, is that they need the gospel. They need the truth of the gospel that will give them hope for eternity. And then I see the pressure of the prayer request in verses 37 and 38. And to me, this is where God really dealt with me. In verse 37, it says that, you know, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's a great harvest, but there's a lack of laborers. When we think about the fact that Jesus spoke to this crowd, they were very much aware of farming. They would be very much aware of this, what we call an agrarian type of lifestyle where people lived off the land. And of course, you know, I grew up in a city. I'm not all that familiar with that, but I have to tell you that when I went to college, I had one of my best friends who took me to Kansas, and I'd never seen operations of farming like that on that magnitude. And I'm given to understand, once the harvest is ready, you have a small window, just a tiny window of time to bring that harvest in, or you lose the harvest. And this is where God is really dealing with me. Because I'm seeing that we talk about being at the end of the age. We talk about the soon return of Jesus Christ. But there's something about this 1040 window that has gotten or captured the imaginations of not just us independent Baptists, but evangelicals, but specifically us. Because I'm thinking about this 1950 movement when independent Baptists went to the country of the Philippines and began this great work. And I'm telling you, go there now and you see these national churches that are thriving with pastors who are training their own. And God is doing that for a reason and for a purpose. Because I believe this window is there that we need to understand. And so the command is to pray to the one who can send forth laborers. Pray ye therefore. Because of the need, we are to pray therefore. And this command here is not just a suggestion. I'm given to understand this is what we know as the imperative mood. which means that this is a command that we are to pray and we're to keep praying until God fulfills that request. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions, if I may, this afternoon. As God has made these things abundantly clear to me, and I think you're in this room because you have an interest in what God is doing there in this 1040 window. So if there is this need, if there is this great need in this world, what are we doing about it? What is your church doing about it? And what can we do together collectively about it? Can we hear the voice of our Savior this afternoon as we sit here in this room, as we think about this vast harvest? I want you to think with me just about a few things. Most of us will be familiar with this term 1040. If we can bring that slide up, we saw it just a moment ago. It is 10 degrees north of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator, going through Africa, through the Middle East, and all the way across Asia. As we think about that particular thing, there are 69 nations, up to 69 nations, if you would include them. The three major religions there would be the Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. Of course, you have there in midst of that China, which is an atheistic nation, a stronghold of Satan, as we think about that. In that swath of what I call a piece of real estate lives two-thirds of our world's population. Two-thirds. They're saying now upwards of 5.5 billion people. My statistics were 4.5, but now it has increased in great ways. And as we think about that, 90% of them, think about it, 90% of them would live, they could be born, live and die, and never run into someone who could tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that moves me. And there's something that has to be done about that. We've got to do something about this great need. As Americans, we are limited in what we can do by going. But the Asian nationals are not limited. They can go. And we need to do what we can to help them. As we think about that, there are 8,479 people groups in this area. 6,200 of these people groups are considered unreached. Some of these countries are completely closed to the Christian faith, and many more are very restricted. Many of them have no Bible in their own language. And what I'm seeing God is doing, I'm seeing that God is putting together a group of people who are wanting to do something to help. And strategically, we don't need to be stepping over each other. We need to be working with each other. One of the things that moved me so much was when we were in the Philippines was to see so many people working together. I'm afraid we're so fragmented in our country today by our movements and our camps, and we've got to come together to make a difference in this particular region. Statistics will tell us 10% of all missionary personnel are in this particular region. Only 5 cents of every $100 of missionary money is given is flowing right now into this region. So I'm asking you this afternoon, can you hear the Savior say, would you pray? Would you pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into this harvest? God is moving. I'm convinced that this, what God is doing and what God has done in my heart, Brother Chappell's heart, Brother Naranjan's heart, I'm convinced that God is doing this. But we need to work together. And I hope and pray that many of you have never had the opportunity to attend a conference or have never been to the Asian continent to be able to come to this meeting and be inspired by what God is doing there. It's critically important. And we are truly believe that this next meeting that we're going to have is going to be life-changing in so many ways. Pastor Chappell.
Thank you, Brother Folger. And I think I can relate to how some of you might think about, boy, I'm already committed with my time and my resources with so many things. And I certainly am. We have our church here. We have the Bible College. We're running on very tight margins financially. This is just one more thing. And yet, when you consider making His last commandment your first priority, if you're going to do one more thing, don't you think missions would be that one more thing? And don't you believe that when you do it, God's going to help you with the other things? And I really believe that even for our own church, that as we invest in the 1040 window, God's going to keep things moving along here in Lancaster. And I just believe that with all my heart. What I'd like to do right now is just take a few moments to let you meet some of the folks that are involved in some of this 1040 window mission and specifically the Spiritual Leadership Asia Conference. And so I'm going to move this here. This over to the side, and We're going to start here with Dr. Sisk. Fellas, I think you have a microphone there, and we're going to do some Q&A. And I want some of the ushers to make sure that we have the interest cards, because I'm going to pass those out in about 15 minutes. Did those get passed out? Do you men have the interest cards? Okay, good. I didn't want to forget that. Dr. Sisk, you have blazed a trail for me and for many in this room with respect to missions, starting the work in Japan and then as the director of BIMI. We have often spoken about the national pastors, particularly in the Philippines and also Korea and other places. And the majority of the mission boards here in the States do not approve them as missionaries for reasons that we feel are legitimate. Sometimes it's actually hurt the ones that receive the support and create a division amongst some of the nationals. And so you know the heartbeat of this from the standpoint of getting behind the nationals, and you've been at some of the Spiritual Leadership Asia meetings, but would you comment specifically on that aspect?
Well, the difference, what we're talking about, rather than having nationals come to America and raise support, which is, I feel, detrimental to indigenous missions, okay? But what we're talking about is finding missionaries in particular areas of the world, and they're all over the 1040 window, that would be training leaders, and they have some leaders in their churches that could go out and start churches. But there are very few churches that can help them financially and to help them. Now, it's not a matter of whether it will work or not. I was with Rick Martin back in October, and over 1,300 independent Baptist churches have been established, and basically in this way.
Right.
All of those, nearly every one of those that have gone out and started churches, they were supported temporarily through donations that was given to Dr. Martin, and then he distributed it to them. So it's a totally different thing than having nationals coming to America to try to raise support. And many times they don't go back to their country. If they do, they're so over-supported they can never relate to their country.
And so that's the heart of this. And I'd like Brother Naranjan, if you would, take a moment. And Brother Naranjan, just briefly share some of the way that God developed your heart for this. And maybe talk about the work of the conference itself. This is the supporting of the nationals. I want Brother Tomlinson to talk about that in a moment as well. But why don't you talk about the conference side of Spiritual Leadership Asia as well?
Sure. So back in 1996, I was with American Express, worked with them for 27 years across the region. But God decided to send two men driving a truck loaded with 450 pounds of explosive into the building across the street because he felt that's what would get my attention. And in the following months, just laying in bed, recovering from that, God just got a hold of my heart with regards to souls, just starting with my family, extending that to the people of my country. And then as my work with American Express extended, just across South Asia first, but then thereafter being based out of Singapore, all across the Far East, God just allowed me to see a part of the world that Pastor Folger spoke about, a region that was lost and needed to hear the gospel. And that took 15 years of seeing, and then 5 years after that of just praying that the Lord would open a door for us to do something. I know Pastor Chappell and some others here were praying about that, along with some other men on the other side of the world. But I'm thankful that we were able to organize the first conference with that focus on Asia, focus on missions. But I'm thankful for men that were in the Philippines. Some of them are here today. Brother Sisson, Dr. Rick Martin, Pastor Nable, Pastor Takero. These men, just together with their staff, just extended themselves, that allowed us to organize the conference in the Philippines. And the conference, they just helped bring together choirs of, you know, of church groups coming together. We had a choir of almost 400, an orchestra of 130 to just support the music. But behind the scenes, just to labor for us to be able to bring pastors all across from the 49 countries, but also predominantly from all the parts of the Philippines. Lots of those pastors opened up their church to provide accommodation for them. But the purpose of the conference had three clear objectives. The morning sessions were focused on personal revival. All of the afternoon sessions were focused on equipping those that were laboring in the harvest, touching a range of topics. But the evening services, where we had over 6,000 attend, were focused on missions and focused on that region. And what we did see was not only many of them, as Pastor Chappell spoke about, coming out of their small churches of 20 and 30, but having the opportunity to meet with a Pastor Daniel Kim that had been faithful and in his place for over 50 years, and seeing how God just saw those works grow, and then be able to meet together and be able to encourage and go back, recognizing and challenge that they need to stay focused and they need to stay faithful in their place. That's what the conference did. But what the conference also did, as the Spirit of the Lord moved, we saw over 250 in those last two conferences surrender to the work of missions, to go back, whether it be to a tribal area that we saw some go back to a tribal group of 5,000 to serve there, or to other parts of the world and just within Asia, and just allow the Lord to use them. There was a pastor in the conference in 2016 that came because of another pastor who had invited him. And on the third night, after Pastor Chappell preached, he came up to the altar and surrendered his life. We didn't know anything about it. He just was somebody that had backslidden and walked away from the ministry. But he got his heart right. 2 years later, he had not only established a church back in Makati that he was serving in, but he was actually helping us transport college students and other people to the conference. But that's what God did time and time again in many of the lives through that conference. And that was the working of the Lord. So it's a region, as Brother Folger talked about, which is extremely complex and extremely challenging, and you see the oppression. But it is also a region in which you see the open doors and an opportunity and this window of time for us to do something about it. Amen. And that's what the conference has been able to do. But as Pastor Folger just spoke about, there's a lot more to be done.
Amen. And Brother Naranjan, as the former Vice President of American Express Asia, has seen the region, and God used his travels business-wise to touch his heart spiritually. And so he works with the pastors, the hotels. We just contracted within the last few weeks with the convention center. And it's a tremendous blessing to have him on that side of the world organizing, so that when we come, and I hope this next time, we'll come with a few hundred West Coast Baptist College students, maybe students from other colleges as well. And I'm praying for at least 100 pastors from the United States, that the lodging, the transportation from the airports, that all of it will be ready. And that is quite a bit of work as well. And I will say this, the greatest fellowship that you have in life is that which is around the gospel. And so for those who attend and participate, just to be there together, whether it's at the breakfast at the hotel or whether it's at the prayer before a service or rejoicing at 1 o'clock in the morning about what God did, it's a little tiring, but it's just a great way to get tired. I'm telling you that right now. And I really believe it's going to be a blessed time for all those that participate. Dr. Gibbs is helping us with just the incorporation and setting this up for the gifts that we're praying for. And I believe, as we were talking earlier, Brother Naranjan, we're asking for how many sponsorships?
We booked a large auditorium, and we're praying that God would allow us to bring together at least 5,000 pastors. And that's the number that we're looking at.
And so the cost per pastor was?
So the cost per pastor is $80, and we're looking for partial sponsorship of $50 per pastor.
So that's our initial goal. Our church here at Lancaster Baptist Church has taken the lion's share of the meeting space, and we've set that aside. And Brother Naranjan has some Christian businessmen that have helped us. Just the budget for the conference and the buildings and so forth is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so we'd like to be able to reach out to some of the missionaries and say, if you've got 5 or 10 national pastors and you'd like them to get a greater vision and learn about soul-winning church planning and be encouraged through the preaching, we want to help you get them here, or we want to help them with lodging or meals in any way that we can. So Brother Gibbs is helping us set that up. Brother Gibbs, why don't you just comment? You've been at some of the conferences, but comment about where we're at in that structure as well.
Number one, they are putting an enormous amount of organizational effort into this. I've been guilty of this. I think we all have on occasion. We've talked a better game than we organized. This time, the diligence that they're putting in to make this happen, because souls are at stake. And I hope you caught what Brother Naranjan just said. For $50, you can put an Asian pastor in that meeting, and he can be a part of all of this. The other day, I had my grandkids in the car. We went through McDonald's. Everybody ordered up. $52. I said, whoa, recount this. That can't be. I had no idea McDonald's had gone highline. The bottom line is, God help us. If you don't come forward and help somebody get there for $50 to have their life changed and send them back out for the sake of the gospel. I promise you, this area is hungry for Jesus Christ. They're hungry for him. And we have the privilege to get there and really do something. Brother Chapel has provided superb leadership. Brother Naranjan, this man has just got business gifts that he's totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so thrilled to see Brother Folger here. I mean, he and I grew up together in the same church. This dear man, my wife was his school teacher, going through the Christian school. And now to watch the incredible way that God is using this man. Now, we need your help. We need your help. Can I beg you this? The devil's got a master plan, and that is to get you out of this meeting and thinking about other things. We need you to commit. I'm going to ask that my wife and I send at least 10. People that can't ever dream. $50 is not a huge sum to us. It's an enormous, impossible sum to them. And we can make a difference for eternity. So please, I'm begging you. I live, eat, and breathe CLA. You all know that. But this is souls. And Brother Chapel, thank you for your burden. Thank you for your burden. And now we need to get behind this. And when they give these cards here in just a minute, please get ready to step up and do something to get these national pastors. The last time I was there for a meeting, I'm asking some of these pastors, where are you staying? And they said, out here on the sidewalk. I said, what are you talking about? You know what they did at night? They go out, they get down on the ground, and they put their back up against a building, and they put a big banana leaf over their head. And that's where they spend the night. These people are willing to carry the gospel for us. Please, I beg you, we're so spoiled. We have a chance to make a difference for eternity. So don't leave this room without filling out those cards. Thank you for the privilege, Brother Naranjan and Brother Chapel, of letting us help.
Thank you, Dr. Gibbs. Brother Tomlinson, you have started a number of churches and a great work in Hong Kong. And after you resigned your last pastorate, you moved to China. And you are already involved with finding national pastors and helping them in exactly the same way that we're talking about. But would you maybe give us a thought or two about the receptivity of that, the partnership, the joy of that partnership? Because I think all of us, we actually would like to identify and have pictures and maps of where these folks are and let the supporting churches know about some of the nationals that are doing this. How enriching has that been for you as you've been involved with that? Just take a moment and share about that, if you would.
Thank you, Pastor Chapel. I just leaned over a moment ago and asked the men next to me, when was the first spiritual leadership conference Asia held? Because I did not know about it until 2016. And I was there in 2016, 2018. But they said 2015. And it's interesting that it was in 2015 that I resigned my church at here in Southern California and started a new ministry that we call Barnabas 1040. And I did not know about the Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia. I didn't realize that there was somebody else already who had in mind what God was laying on my heart. And now to see this come to fruition and to see you speaking, it's what my wife and I did just individually. We left our church. I was 65 years old. I resigned my church. I didn't resign because I was 65. I resigned because I felt God wanted us to do this new ministry, and this was an opportunity that we needed to take while we could. And so we turned the church over to a younger man, and we started Barnabas 1040. Barnabas tells the what, and 1040 tells the where. Barnabas is the helper. 1040 is the 1040 window. And so we spent a year and a half on deputation, and then we moved over to China for the last 2.5 years, where we based out of China, and we began to go into these 1040 window countries to build relationships, to try to find out who's already there, exactly what you were saying, what missionaries, either American missionaries or even foreign missionaries, who's already there, who's already led people to Christ, trained them, and they need some help financially just to get these men out of the nest and out into their villages and the surrounding cities to start churches. And so we did that, and we began very slowly began meeting people, we began to find out what the needs were, and we began supporting them monthly. We now support 58 national pastors, and I'll give you the countries real quickly, in 14 countries, and we support them in China, Vietnam, Laos, Indonesia, Thailand, India, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Myanmar, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Mali, Senegal, and Egypt. We don't actually support anyone in the Philippines yet, but we do work through several Filipino missionaries that are in these other countries, and we send the money through the Filipino missionary, through ABC. They're able to then get it to the other people, to their people. And what we found out is that as far as reception, it's wide open. We've had the privilege of living in southern China for the last 2.5 years, and when we're not in another country, then I'm in China. We're involved in ministry there. I preach there, and in this particular church, and it's just, I mean, to sit to preach on a Sunday to 120 to 130 people, adults, and they're hanging on every word. I mean, they want the Word of God. My wife and I were in a restaurant recently, and a lady came over to us, the waitress, and she said, "Why are you so happy? Why do you like each other so much?" And she said, "You guys come here and you've got a good marriage. Why?" And we said, "You really want to know?" And she said, "Yes." And we said, "Because we do it God's way." And then we pulled out my Bible, went through Ephesians 5, talked to her about husband-wife relationships, and here's what she said. She said, "Do they have that book in Chinese?" I said, "Oh yeah, they got it in Chinese. We'll bring you one next Sunday." And we brought her one the next Sunday and gave her the Gospel of John, encouraged her to begin reading. And we came back the following week, and she had read over 50 chapters in that 1 week. People are just open. There's a reception. There's not. You know, sometimes we're afraid that people in Asia, they hate Americans, and they don't. Vietnam. When I'm in Vietnam, people. I'm a former soldier. I don't tell them usually. You know, I don't say, "Hey, I used to kill people in your country." You know, and they used to try to kill me. Although I have met some former soldiers, and we take our pictures together, and we realize now we're on the same side. But they're open to Americans, and they want to talk to us. They have people in China. I mean, where can you go in America where a 69-year-old man and a 60-something-age woman, a 69-year-old man and his wife, where can you go in America where you sit down in a coffee shop and millennials want to come and talk to you? You can do it in China, and they're just wide open. It's a great place. Great. It's not all easy, but the people want the gospel. They're hungry for the gospel.
I think you're getting a little taste of just some things the Lord's put on our hearts. And the Spiritual Leadership Asia is providing a biannual conference that is a large-scale conference that God has touched and using. We're going to begin working with annual conferences with Brother Folger, and I'm not able to do all of the annual. I'll do some, perhaps, but we'd like to start finding pastors that have a heart for this who'd like to say, go to Thailand or go to Sri Lanka, and we want to continue training and encouraging the nationals and then supporting the nationals that are called to preach through these meetings. We'd like to have the ability to get support through a more mature missionary or pastor on the other side, but to these men that are called to preach. And this is our vision, just to be a blessing blessing and to see the gospel go forward. And so I'd like to ask you if you would take this card out, and it's an interest card. It just simply says, I'm interested in attending the 2020, engaging the church to pray for the 1040 region, having Dr. Folger, or giving a partial scholarship of $50 toward a national pastor. If you want to fill out any one or all of those. If you don't have a card, raise your hand. If you didn't get the card, ushers, if you'll come with those very quickly. We're going to close this out in a minute. If you have some questions, most of us will be right up here afterwards, and we'd be glad to talk with you about any of these things. Brother Sisk?
Let me say one thing. One of the things that really thrilled me was different mission organizations working together.
Yes.
Pastors that had misunderstandings between each other were united in this and so forth. And at the 2016, and the relationship between Koreans and Japanese have not always been the best in the world, okay? But on that time, Dr. Daniel Kim was honored from South Korea, and Dr. Sogoro Ogawa from Japan, and they had a great time together.
Amen. That's
so
the Lord.
So just getting together and having such a great common cause is a great, great thing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people find their security in their little fellowship or their denomination or whatever, and if you need to have that, go ahead and have it. But if you want to do something bigger than that for God, fill that card out. And get involved, because I'm telling you, every missions agency is invited and welcome. If they have the same doctrine, they're welcome to come. And we had folks from, I don't even want to name them, probably 10 missions agencies and different backgrounds. So the heart of this is really to just be willing, as Brother Folger said a moment ago, to come together for the bigger purpose of winning the lost for Jesus Christ. So, and if you would have been there and seen what he said, a Korean and a Japanese pastor preaching on the same platform, and the Pakistanis and the Indians standing next to each other singing Amazing Grace, that's big time. And that's only what the gospel can do. The United Nations cannot do that. But the gospel can do that. That's the power of the gospel. So we wanted to share it with you. We want to invite you to come. And we'll be putting some other things out in the mail. If you're interested, please fill the card out. Would you fill those out and just put them back to the aisles, ushers, if you'll come. And Brother Sherrod and Brother Rule and some of you other staff men, come get these cards and help the ushers out here this afternoon. And I hope that this has been enlightening for you. There's several here that were on the... If you were at the conference last year, would you please stand? Just stand right up if you were there. Dr. Kingsbury has a lot of the RU ministries going. Brother Delaney, Brother Miller, Brother Sisson over here. Stay up, guys. Missionary in Mindanao. Brother Alan Fong back in the back there. Brother Harris from BIMI. Brother Kerry Nance, who preached this morning. So any of these that have stood, if you'd like to ask them questions, and then any of these here, please do that. And we'd love to share with you.